Well, hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to Beyond the Matrix, the radio program that dares you to think outside the box of reality and woo-hoo! No, it dares you to think outside the box of convention, and it begs you to think about the new reality. Let's put it that way. So after I blew that intro, welcome to the show. I'm back. What a time I've had. I was in Peru. It was a really tough journey, beautiful but tough. And I'm back in the, let's say, healing process of resting on my way to my next destination. Meanwhile, there is so much going on this planet, and you know how I feel. I think enough of you know me well enough now that you've heard me do my show, I'm Mad as Hell and I Can't Take It Anymore, and I'm not going to take it anymore. And this might be one of those shows. I have invited on the show a wonderful, really powerful soul sister. It's very rare. You've heard me say this. We don't have enough female voices in the power zone coming out and speaking truth about what's going on this planet. And I often search. It's like, where are the powerful voices, female voices, daring to come out and speak their truth? And I find this person in Hillary Rimel, who is a leading radio show host. She has so many accolades as far as her work. She's been a talk show host. In fact, I've been on her show on the World Puja Network. She was also on Achieve Radio. She is a healer. She is a new vision thinker. She is a really powerful human being. And together we're going to talk about Sandy, the bizarre hurricane. That was, sounds like a Dr. Seuss title. We're going to talk about the Gulf Stream and what really is going on this planet and what's happening to that, all of the countries, all of the islands, everything in the wake of, on the Gulf Stream after the disaster in the Gulf Stream. I want to talk about Fukushima too. And oh boy, that opens up a lot of doors. So if you are scared and don't want to talk about these truths, don't want to hear about them, you want to stay with the blue pill, I think it is, or the, I said that the one where you just go to sleep and wake up and everything is never happened, then this is not the show for you. If you want to look at reality and examine the possibilities of what's going on and what we're going to have to do to change them, then here we go. Welcome, Hillary. Thank you for being on.
Hi, Patricia. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, I've made the big statement. You are a rebel like me, and I think you're going to stir up some dust, as they say. So thank you for coming on and approaching the subjects that I think we need to talk about. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think it's very important, and one of the things that I come to conclude in my life is the fact that, you know, for many years I was pursuing a spiritual path and speaking into all of the different ways to expand my consciousness and to, you know, expose myself to higher spiritual understandings. And I spent many, many years doing that. And, you know, towards a certain part of that journey, it became very clear that once you begin to be able to see on more profound and in-depth levels of consciousness, you begin to explore what I called, and what many people call, the collective consciousness, and being able to see into different places on larger and larger scales. And one of the things that tempted me to really start the radio show about 7 years ago on Achieve Radio was this fact that there was so much information that wasn't available mainstream to people, or even, you know, the alternative media movement was just starting to take off about that time. And we had a lot of people who were instigating this kind of stir in consciousness of delivering alternative information or getting information out to people so that they could further explore not only themselves but also truths around the world. But the world platform, as interesting as it is and as complex as it is, it's a tremendous mirror into an individual's consciousness, and also, you know, to give you a very clear idea of what's going on in the collective world, because it's all very connected. And so I began to explore topics that, you know, some people consider conspiracy theories, or, you know, that's a big weird word that people like to throw around and label, and I think it's been intentionally done that way. Because what happens is you have information leaking out through advances in technology, and you have people better able to communicate around the world, and you have all of this real integration of facts and information that supersede mainstream media. There's not as much control, although, of course, they are changing that now with different internet laws and things that have changed drastically. But for a while there, it was pretty clear that, you know, one was able to really find things that were no longer being available, made available anyway, on mainstream platforms. And so for a while, people were turning to alternative media types and shows such as yours, such as mine, networks such as yours and Achieve and World Pooja and many others that are doing great things, to be able to hear from insiders or hear from people who are willing to talk about these kind of subjects that aren't very comfortable for common comfort zones.
That's exactly right. And even in the spiritual circles, we've got the mass public who doesn't want to talk about it. It's just too scary reality. Everything is cosmic, and turn back on the TV set. And then we also have a number of circles of spiritual people that find it too dark, too negative. They don't want to talk about the alternate reality of manipulation of the planet. And so we come up with a very large body of people who refuse to acknowledge what's going on. And my point to pursuing this is, I also am a very spiritual person and have followed my path, but there is no reason to be afraid to talk about anything. And as we give up the power to be able to talk about or look at the fiber of society and what's going on the planet, then we might as well roll over and play dead. And I will not do that. And as long as I have breath in me, I pursue my spiritual life. I do the work I do. And one of these things that I insist on doing is helping people not embrace the information, but to be free enough to consider it. To be free,
they need to. I mean, the time, it's too bad if they don't like it, because that's really where we're getting. It's too bad if you don't like it, and too bad if you think it's dark and negative, and you're just going to have to deal with it. I mean, anybody with a computer or access to books and stuff can really do their own research if they don't believe it. But the fact is that it's all very real. The technology that we're dealing with, the weather manipulation technology, these are not theories anymore. These have been long in practice. And when you really just start to get down to the nitty-gritty research, you will find the trails, you'll find the patents, you can trace the companies that own the patents. I mean, most people don't have the time to do it, which is part of the problem. And the second part is the people who are doing the research, who are taking the time to do it, you know, if you're not listening to those people and you're not, you know, fact-checking or doing your own kind of looking, then you're really living with blinders on, and you're not facing the realities that we're living with in this planet. And it doesn't make you a less spiritual person if you understand the things that are at work. It actually makes you more of a spiritual warrior, because in many senses, this is about waking people up to the point where, you know, why are we so complacent? That's what I always go back to, and I'm sure you do too, Patricia, is that why are people so complacent? Why are we so happy?
Well, for starters, there are a lot of mind control devices being used against the population, but that's no excuse. I mean, there's simply a I don't want to deal with it, it's too heavy mentality of denial that it seems to me that the human race, and I've said this before over and over again, in fact, it seems that we need to be up against the wall before we start to move into action. And if people don't get that we're up against the wall now, then tonight's show is certainly dedicated to that. We're going to be talking about the greatest ecological disaster of all times before Fukushima, which was the explosion of the Deepwater Horizon oil rig, which went on to leak 5 million barrels of oil into the Gulf. 5 million barrels is what they're admitting to in only the 3 months following the explosion. And still today, according to the U.S. Coast Guard, oil is leaking off the Louisiana coast near where the oil rig exploded to the tune of 100 gallons a day. So if they're admitting 100, you can only imagine. supposedly they estimate this since September 16th, but...
well, you can believe what you hear, or you can look into it yourself. I mean, I was a big voice. I mean, I did a two-hour special on the BP oil spill back when it happened, and I wouldn't shut up about it. I mean, every venue that I could possibly get information out, I interviewed Dr. Ricky Ott, who is a big activist. She was on a lot of mainstream news media outlets and stuff, and it's interesting. I even traced the murder trail. There was a profound murder trail of scientists and
yes.
a whole bunch of people that is on my blog. You can see it for yourself. There was politicians that were found dead. I mean, it was just a mess all over the place. But again, nobody wanted to listen. Nobody was really caring about the information. And
right.
I did a solid research on how it affected the loop current. And the loop current, you know, many people don't even know what the loop current is, and it's really the heart and soul of the ocean, and it determines our weather and patterns also. So, I mean, the cutoff in the Gulf has affected everything on this planet. And, you know, when we deal with this kind of stuff, and you know, I've traced the insurance that was paid out to the companies, the subsidiaries, I mean, it's bizarre how tangled of a trail it is. And when you put all the dots together and you put all the pieces together and you look at it, you're like, oh my God, why aren't people like jumping up and down and, you know, throwing a big fit about this? Well, the answer is, you know, nighty night, sleepy heads all over the world that just don't want to deal with this stuff.
I think it's really important also to explain to people that the U.S. Bureau of Safety and Environmental Enforcement, the agency that supposedly regulates offshore drilling, reports that the U.S. has to, in this year, in 2011, issued, since the event, 89 new permits to drill approved by the Obama administration. I'm getting a little tired of hearing that Obama is a light worker who has descended from the ninth dimension. He's an avatar to save humanity. And I'd like to see people get back into the reality zone of what is going down with this administration, which, of course, we all know is... it's not about who the person is because they're all from the same cloth. But let's stop being in la-la land about everything's going
to
turn
around. He wouldn't be allowed to be president of the United States if he wasn't part of the agenda, period.
Exactly.
Period. You don't get elected into office by the people. You get elected into office by the corporate entities that want you there. That's it. I mean, it's just a fact, plain and simple. It's just your vote does not matter. I don't care how many times I get blasted for saying that. Your vote doesn't matter. This is not about, you know, I'm going to go out and change the world by picking A or B. The duality that exists, the illusion of choice is, of course, obvious all over the place. But it's an illusion, period.
I just posted something about that, about how... people are all worked up about this. They're either madly in love with Obama or not. And let's give him 4 more years to get the job done. And the job, how many years more do we have to have before we see how really traumatized the world is and has declined in the last 4 years? My God. And we can't keep blaming Bush. We've got to get over this ridiculousness and understand there's an agenda. The agenda's in place. And we're going to be talking also today about how on the East Coast, hello, folks, we've got martial law being imposed in New Jersey. I've just heard there's martial law being imposed in spots of Long Beach. And Staten Island, they're bringing people into a camp, which is being described more like a prison than a camp. And one of the people who reported this says they won't let them go out and go back into their houses. So all of this in the name of security, the famous hit word that has given away the Constitution of the United States. But folks, seriously, it's time to pay attention and to act. Not react, but act. And this is why Hillary and I want to talk to you. Not for feverishly, but definitely with strength about what's really going on and fearlessly understanding the situation. So we'd like to talk about the Gulf Stream. And Hillary, as she said, she's just brought this home to people at length. It's still leaking, folks. I've heard also, I'd love to talk to you about this, Hillary, that one of the reasons this has all happened in the Gulf is because they want to turn it into a giant algae farm for biofuels. Do you know anything about that?
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, if you look at the stocks that were sold off, if you look at the insurance policies that were bought, it's just like 9/11. I mean, it's not, this isn't a conspiracy anymore. It's a model of business. It's become a model of business for gigantic multinational corporations, the big corporatocracy that really does run the world. You know, it's become a model of business. You take out these big insurance policies on these things, you blow up buildings, you sabotage rigs out in the middle of the Gulf, you clean up with the millions of dollars that you get, you know, and then somehow, somewhere along the line, you have an environmental disaster that they really don't care about. I mean, this really isn't about taking care of the planet. It's all a crock. I interviewed a bunch of medical doctors after that event happened, and I followed up 6 months later with the same medical doctor who was bravely willing to come on the air and talk about the things that he was seeing from people, you know, from basically just the people who live down there, their health, and how the environment was affecting them with all the chemicals that were used in the water and everything that was sprayed and breathing in the air and eating the seafood. And doing all of that stuff had really started to show up in a variety of different health effects. And, of course, you're never going to hear anything about that. All we were projected with was the healthy, the Gulf is back, everything is fine, come on down here, spend money, spend money, spend money. Look how pretty it is. Eat the food. I wouldn't eat the food if you paid me. I'm sorry,
right.
I've pretty much banned all seafood because of Fukushima and because of the Gulf. I just don't eat it anymore.
Well,
I don't
feed
it to my family, nothing.
I'd like to talk about vegetarianism somewhere in this discussion, but
there's a lot of things we could cover. I think we need a 2 hour show.
Yeah, we do. Obama, I loved when the White House came up with this photo op where they were showing everybody that they were serving shrimp from the Gulf at the White House.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
They weren't eating it. I guarantee it. I guarantee it came from some other part of the world. I don't buy it. I think it's all a big productive photo op kind of staged publicity stunt. I really think it's also part of the business model. I mean, the original question was, you know, what do I think about all this? Well, I think it's become a very scripted, very controlled, perfectly planned PR kind of constructed idealism that whatever, whoever is trying to relay to the masses, it's almost like, you know, and they have massive departments of people to handle these kind of things. So anytime you see something big happen on the world stage, you can be pretty much sure that it's going through all these kinds of outlets. The military itself has whole departments developed just for handling the spin on things that come out. So I really don't think that we can really trust the mainstream media anymore because they're getting paid millions of dollars to read the prompter, and whatever's put on the prompter, they have to read. They're not free-thinking individuals who share stories with people from a kind of concerned, authentic journalism-type stance. It's a horse and pony show, and that's what we're dealing with. Honestly,
I'd like
that's
to
what it is.
Interject that there is also a lot of disinformation in the alternative media.
Now
so
there
we've
is,
got,
yeah.
I think, it you know, robotic, automatic pilot from the mass media. But we also have very dangerous infiltration in the alternative media, and I'm sure you'll agree with that. So it's really becoming very important now that people turn on their discernment machine, because getting the truth, getting at the truth, is becoming something that you've got to dedicate a lot of time to.
Absolutely,
a lot of attention.
Because you really have to be an authentic. You have to really be an original researcher. You have to not have any attachments. You know, when I did my show, one of the, you know, I've noticed and I've watched the mainstream, the quote mainstream alternative media types who come out, and they, you know, they have shady funding coming in from different places. You know, anytime you see someone really take off and have quadrillion, you know, viewers or listeners, and you know, they just have a solid platform. I mean, they're getting money from someplace, and you know, you got to be careful with that, because once somebody starts feeding you any kind of financial or having any kind of say in the production of it or what you talk about, it's shady. And one of the things I always wanted was to no ties to anybody, and I found that on the two networks that I was on. And I know BBS is good for this too, because you're not told what you can or can't talk about. You know, you can come on with your own original ideas and free-thinking voice and have an outlet to share
Absolutely.
That with people. And really,
I would like, you know, I'd like people to understand that in order to bring forward this program, I actually pay to be on the air, and I have no sponsors. And the even if I could find a sponsor, it would have to be something that had to do with spirit and or holistic products. But still, no sponsors. So people should recognize that somebody pays for that. And on BBS, usually it's the host herself or himself.
They pay, we pay for. I mean, I paid for my airtime for 7 years. I mean, I financed it myself, and everything that I did was completely put through my own money. So I mean, it's not even.
Yeah, so do I.
You know, and that's just the way it is. And people need to understand that airtime is not free. So you do.
People
you
don't
do
understand
have to,
that. So it's, I'm glad we bring it up because you know, being that pure, investing your own time and money to do something like a show without sponsorship means you are speaking from your gut and you are not beholden to anyone. Of course, we're little teeny voices out there in the big sea of sharks, but still we're voices and still we are not beholden to any organization or corporation that would sponsor us. And just think about the corporations and organizations that sponsor presidents and candidates.
Well, then, you know, and then if you're not giving the message that they want given, they pull your funding and then you don't have a show. So you're really at, you know, the mercy of that. And so when you see these big kind of TV shows like Jesse Ventura going on mainstream, there's some massive funding coming from somewhere for things of that sort. So, you know, the alternative media and all of the conspiracy kind of quant that goes on is really has really grown. It's gotten a lot of attention. And anytime you have massive millions of people tuning into information that's being spread that way without any kind of control, you can guarantee yourself that infiltration is going to happen, whether it be in all of a sudden miracle working kind of, all of a sudden a person comes out with 12 books. You've never heard of them before. And you're like, where did this person come from? Or sudden military whistleblowers who just pop up and just happen to want to give information out.
Exactly.
I think we have to be very careful in what we believe, and we have to do our own research and back it up and know where, and just use common sense. I mean, half the time it's got to be common sense. If somebody comes out and says, oh, this is what's going on, you don't just necessarily take it as truth just because they say it. You know, take some time to go into it and find out for yourself if it's legitimate or not. I've seen a lot of stories pop up in alternative media that have absolutely no thread to them at all. I mean, you go to look for sources and there is none. So it's a very interesting way, and everybody will pick it up. All the alternative media blogs will have it. All the shows will be pronouncing it. And it goes like a wildfire right through the entire network of shows.
Well, it's a great place to plant disinformation, especially in our circles of spiritual people, because we are the ones that are fighting or working for the light. And so how do you turn off the light? It's just infiltrate the organization or the collective consciousness, as you said, of people that are on that bent. So,
or infiltrate the quote New Age movement and make kind of a theme of, you know, oh, that's ego, we don't want that, or the body is bad, or, you know, we don't want to go into those things because they're dark and negative, or we're all one. And I'm not saying that those spiritual truths aren't valid, but what I am saying is oftentimes they're used as excuses not to look into things that you really need to know about and share with other people so that these things can become more well-known. You'd be surprised how many people, not to go in this direction, but how many people don't even know what a GMO is. Or who Monsanto is, and both candidates, Romney and Obama, have intimate ties with one of the most gigantic multinational corporations in the world. And Obama put one of their guys into the FDA as one of the heads. I mean, you're eating fake food, and nobody even understands what a GMO is because this kind of information is not given to the masses in a way that is reachable, believable, or even really understood unless they're seeking out that kind of information. So we're in an information war, to be honest with you. We're in an information war. We're in kind of a control of that information. If you know where to look, you can find exactly what you need to find without just listening to a podcast or taking my word for it or anybody else's word for it. You can go out there and read tons of information or look at different things and discern and put the pieces together yourself. I mean, there is a trail. It's an obvious trail. It's intuitive.
I would like to interject here that that it is really important to you people out that are listening to support your organizations like BBS Radio and these other organizations that are doing their best to bring you alternative information. It costs a lot to run this, and it takes a lot of dedication. I've been with BBS since 2007, and these people are working very hard to keep this thing going. So, you know, when you write to me and say, I'm really upset that I missed your show and it's not available, you know, give these guys whatever, $8, $9 for a quarter. I don't know what the price is, but to listen to the archives, please support. We're doing a lot of work out here, and I'm sure that Hillary will collaborate that with me. Please support your alternative media. It's hard to keep this going.
I mean, if you find Patricia, I have so much respect for what you do, and I really enjoy what you do. You speak up on a lot of very important topics, but you speak very powerfully. And when you said a while ago that you're a tiny voice, I don't believe that at all. I think you're a very big and powerful voice. And I view mine as well, because, you know, the thing is that we have to be prepared to stand up and speak our truth no matter what. And that's what you do. And I try to hold my integrity to that as well. And I try to really speak the truth when I'm asked, you know, like on shows like this and to talk about it. But I think what I'd like to talk about too, and I'd like to really make sure this information gets out, because it's been a huge, has had a huge impact on me. You know, people, I'm in New York, as you know, I'm in upstate New York, but I was here when Superstorm Sandy hit. And what was interesting was, if you don't mind me going into this for a few minutes, because some of my personal experience with it, because I was right in the center of this kind of rolling whirlwind storm, and we had this huge thing coming at us. And last year we had Hurricane Irene come, which was a smaller storm, and same exact direct path, and we had quite a bit of damage here in this area.
A tree fell on your house.
A tree fell on my house. Oh, that you remember? Yeah. So I had this tree fall on my house. We had really bad winds and a lot of damage and stuff happened here. Well, with Superstorm Sandy, which was much bigger than Irene, when she hit, we had absolutely nothing. Nothing. It was like our area, it was like the storm was a total lie. We didn't get anything. And then we have all this other damage happening in areas around us. But, I mean, where I'm only 2 hours outside of the city. It was just bizarre to all of us that we didn't have anything happen. We didn't lose power. We barely had any winds. It was a very odd, surreal kind of feeling. There's a website that I follow. Somebody had pointed it out to me a while ago that shows the HARP frequencies, like when the HARP ranges are felt, you know, it shows a map where they were, you know, where they were showing for that particular period of time before the storm hit. And New York City and my area were very much in this kind of white zone where the frequency waves are very intense and very measurable and very high. So I was writing about that on my blog and on social media about being in the white zone and having all of these different, you know, things happening. And I felt it for those few days, and I felt it before I even looked at the website. So it wasn't just kind of like a thing where you see it and then you start projecting all these symptoms. I felt very heavy when I meditated. I couldn't get out of my body, which is very unusual for me. I mean, I never have a problem with that. It was that I wasn't sleeping well. I was having a lot of headaches. It just felt like someone had put a blanket over me, and I wasn't able to do anything except just put up with it until it was over. Then when I started to talk about it, a lot of people in this area were experiencing the same thing. And that's where social media can come into handy, because you can start talking about these things. Once you're aware of the realities of them, you can start sharing things like this, and not to create kind of a panic, but to kind of observe and see what these things are all about. And so the sky was very, you know, nothing was moving. There was no wind. It was very eerie. Everybody's like, oh, it's the calm before the storm. Like, yeah, I mean, I've been through storms before. There is a calm before the storm, but this calm seemed to be unusually weird. And then we get nothing. And then the storm takes this eerie kind of left turn and goes up the middle of New York State. It kind of is coming right in, hits New Jersey, takes this weird left turn, goes up the state, and moves on. I was watching, I was actually writing about some of these things, and I was had the TV playing in the background, and they were interviewing the governor of Massachusetts, and he was talking on the Storm Channel, and I wished God I had taped this or I had documented it better, because it really, I think, is a big clue. He was talking to at a press conference, and he said to the reporters, he goes, "Well, you know, the storm took a left, and it worked." And somebody caught that in the audience, and one of the reporters goes, "What worked? Could you clarify that?" And he mumbled and grumbled, and he goes, "Mother Nature worked. What a load of crock! I mean, it's so obvious that they are used." So basically, what's happening is you have this technology. It's very real. Go back, trace the patents, look at HARP, look at Tesla's stuff. Go into Jerry Smith, people who have been writing about this for a long time. Jerry Smith is no longer alive, by the way. He was killed before he came on my show. He died of a heart attack. But he wrote two very good books, very well researched, on weather manipulation and weather warfare. Dr. Nick Begich, B-E-G-I-C-H, is a phenomenal researcher on HARP, and I would recommend every single one of his books that you can find. I have his complete set in my library. I've read them all. Very good, very well done. You know, you have this long history that goes back to like the 1800s, if not before, that there was these kind of weather manipulations. They have been highly perfected. You have this technology at work. So are you going to push a storm over to the left so it doesn't quite hit, you know, a million-plus populated cities, so that, you know, the full impact of damage isn't on all of this main stuff that we have here? Maybe push it into New Jersey a bit and send it up Pennsylvania and up New York so that we don't have as much damage as we would have if it hit directly?
Can I interject something? Hillary, hold on. I'd like to interject something here. All right, we know that the military is working on weather manipulation is the number one weaponry, and this has been for 40, 50 years a high priority of the military. If you don't know that, do your homework. All right, so to say that Hurricane Katrina or earthquakes of nine on the Richter scale are not manipulatable is to be very let's say, innocent and ingenuous about what's going on. By the way, my own book, Atlantis Rising, 13 years ago, back when nobody had a clue about HARP, also talked about HARP, which made me very popular with certain people. But so the information has been out there, and for a long time, it's been very hard to get people to listen to this. But here we are. Question, why do you believe the manipulation of this storm took place? If your objective is to create a superstorm that's going to wreak havoc and then have it turn left so it doesn't wreak total havoc, what do you and your understanding is, what is your opinion of why this was done?
Well, I
Let's
think
assuming the storm, that it is a manipulated storm, which we can't sit here and go into with the short time we have.
Yeah.
Why do you believe it was done?
Well, I think the loop current has definitely changed. So you're going to, and the loop current was broken because of the BP oil spill and a lot of other things. So you have a loop current that has shifted over to pretty much hug the east coast of the United States. So you're going to see a lot of the storms take the same kind of little, pathway that Sandy and Irene and a lot of other ones have done since 2010, when we had the problem in the Gulf Coast. So you're going to watch these storms naturally form. I mean, Mother Earth still exists, so she still is working in the way that she works. So you do have these elements, and she is shifting. She is changing. You have the sun element and all these things going on. So it's a natural phenomena, but it's also man-made phenomena. So you have a combination of things that work here. So I think what's happening, and this is my opinion based on my own research, is that we have this loop current changing. These storms are starting to form along that loop current, move up the east coast of the United States into the path of New York City and major living areas. And so I think the storm was actually not necessarily created to cause the damage, but it was there. It was kind of a perfect setup of elements based on the jet stream changes, based on the loop current changes. And, it felt to me like a demonstration, kind of like, look what we can do kind of thing. So who knows what's going on in the background? Maybe somebody's trying to sell you know, higher funding into certain areas of this. I mean, all of it's all connected to the privatization of NASA and moving these kind of technologies above us into space and being able to manipulate things from there. So we have a very complicated mixture of things at work here, and I just couldn't stop feeling this kind of, you know, like I was watching some kind of sick demonstration of, okay, well, we got this storm, it's coming in, it's going to hit New York City, it's going to cause billions and trillions of dollars of damage. Now watch what happens when we apply the HAARP technology and move it slightly to the left so it doesn't really hit New York City. Ta-da, everybody's, you know, because remember, not everybody is in on the high levels of use of these kind of things. I mean, you have politicians at state levels that just don't get it. They're not in the loop. They don't all understand what's going on. So they may say, yeah, well, look, we have this. It's been used on it. It's moved it a little to the left. It saved New York City. Ta-da! It's like Obama. All of a sudden, everything is saved.
A little further.
Right. So now that it works, let's increase funding and make sure that, you know, the military and the, you know, the corporatocracy gets all of this funding. All these private payloads are going up into space. You have all these private companies coming into the picture. There's a lot of big, massive things happening on this planet right now that nobody is even paying attention to because they're so fixated on either UFOs or ETs or, you know, financial collapse or whatever. I mean, it's so many across-the-board things that take our distraction away from the realities of what's happening.
Right, but I want to stay on track here. My question to you, and I'm not sure I agree with you, is why was this HAARP intervention done to this storm? And you're saying it was to alleviate the main damage that could have happened, and my belief is very different. I think it was deliberately brought in. I think it was made to be a much greater storm than it was, and I think of course, my thought is also based on my own interpretation. I believe that this was deliberate, and it is the beginning of setting up martial law. So, in other words, how do you put martial law into action?
Yeah, I do agree with that. I do think
where you've got to help. Hold on. Where you're working to create a situation where people need help from the government and need protection. So, yesterday I was told that there were boatloads of looters coming into Long Island, and the coast, army was out there protecting people from the looters. And I even heard from someone who's on the scene. She said that the reports are that they're shooting these people. This is going on, whether people are aware of it or not. This is the on the scenes information that I'm hearing from people there. So I'm going to open this up for questions now because this is pretty fiery stuff. And I think you need to call in. Toll free number is 888-627-6008 in the USA and Canada. You must have opinion about this either way. And if you're there on the scene, we'd love to hear from you and tell us what you're experiencing. And if not, and you'd just like to kick around this idea, what really is going on? Is this being the military showing us what they can really do with weather manipulation, or is it far more sinister? And if it is, how do we as a civilization and a population combat this? Because, you know, my work is to give you the information and then give you the upswing of what we're going to do about it. Because I am always convinced, always sure that we are empowered to make those changes. Again, 888-627-6008. And if you can't come in from call in from USA or Canada, here's another a number, 530-327-7602. Let me give it again. 530-327-7602. You can also check on the website of BBS for Station 1. There are other numbers you can call in on. So if you have a question, you want to add your 2 cents, you want to talk to Hillary or me, please go ahead and call in and we will take your calls as they come in. Okay, back to you, Hillary.
I hope people call in. I think it's a great opportunity to get a good conversation going. I just feel that being here in the area, I talked to people in New York a few days before the storm hit, the general consensus was that there was this weird kind of subdued feel to the city, and just everybody was kind of, you know, ho-hum, laid back, which is also an effect of HAARP technology. And in order to create a kind of swirling system, kind of, you know, you douse an area in those frequencies, And, you know, when the storm comes, it changes the way. I mean, Mother Nature does not just take a hard left and go up the state. You know, it just doesn't, it doesn't work that way. And when you look at the pictures, that's exactly what happened. When you watch the radars, you see it taking a hard left and missing New York City. If this was intentionally done to be extremely sinister and we want to cause as much damage and as much impact on the United States as possible, then the storm would have been allowed to hit New York City. You're looking
at... Well, not
at,
necessarily, because the Wall Street is in New York City proper.
Right. So why are they going to allow themselves to be destroyed? I mean,
exactly.
They're doing a good job of it anyway. I mean, they have a slow kind of stewing plan to change things financially. But, I mean, a storm like this could really just topple the city. I mean, it could have just been that much worse. And so, you know, you have all this damage done to Staten Island and New Jersey, and then the storm kind of moves up. And, I mean, I'm so close to that. I mean, and Irene, which was such a smaller storm, did more damage up here than this gigantic super converging supercell storm, and that just doesn't make any, it doesn't make any common sense or intuitive sense, or even, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. Why would this storm just all of a sudden not happen in certain areas where everything else should? Mother Nature doesn't necessarily do that. So that's why I'm more on leaning on the side that HAARP was used perhaps as a way to say, see, this is what we can kind of do. And maybe they did create it. I mean, I don't know. I can't say that they did or they didn't. But I know and I feel very strongly that the technology was definitely used in this, one way or the other.
Yeah. What do you think about Katrina?
Well, Katrina.
Okay, hold on. We've got a caller.
Okay.
Hold on. Put the call through, please. Who have we got?
Hi, Patricia.
Hello.
And Hillary. I completely agree with the fact that this is all being at least man-made to get worse, and all the weather manipulation and HAARP. I've been doing my research and my work, my homework. So, and I've also been studying the work of Alex Putney. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He used to be on Facebook and had a website called Human Resonance. .org, but he's suddenly kind of disappeared. I hope he's okay. He was living in Ecuador. And so this is actually a positive. I don't really have the answer of what we can do. Of course, just be aware and spread the information is one way to do something. I don't know if we can how we can combat the powers that were to say we're not going to take this. We're moving to a positive timeline, and I just do not. Maybe empower ourselves could be something that, you know, something to be aware of, like you always do.
Well, keeping
that's
the
why
dialogue
I love your work.
Open, keeping a dialogue open is empowerment. What is your name?
My name is Tessa.
Tessa, thank you for calling. Ah, are you the Tessa that I have often contact with?
Yes.
Thank
yes.
you for calling, Tessa. All right. So,
thank you. And just a really quick thing to say. I wanted to say, psychopathy, according to Alex's work, psychopathy is a result of the acoustic resonance that exists now in the planet. And as soon as, well, he believes that in 2012, he's a physicist, but he also studies ancient knowledge, and he combines the two of them. When we get aligned to the galactic core and this big wave of light and information comes our way, the resonance of the Earth will change, the pyramids will activate, and then the psychopathy won't be viable anymore to exist, at least in the positive timeline. I understand that if people want to experience negativity, they will still be able to do that because of the contract or whatever, you know, their soul needs to experience. But I do know that this possible positive thing will occur, so we're not stuck, you know, in the, oh, my gosh, you know, we can't do anything and we're doomed. So I just wanted to say that positive.
Okay. Tessa, we've got another caller coming in. I would like to thank you for your comment. I would like to just add to that being able to talk about these things is not a negative thing. And what we need to do is to be able to talk about them and to bring them up, like you said, to the positive. So
For example, once we examine what's going on and we are able to understand it, we are then able to do something about it, and we will. So thank you for calling in, Tess. I'm really grateful to go because we've got another caller coming in.
Thank you, Tessa.
Thank you, Tessa.
Bye, Hillary.
Can we have the next caller, please? On line four. Hello?
Patricia?
Yes?
It's Bruce from Albany.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks for calling in. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? I wanted to just throw out the idea that although you and Hillary are having sort of different views on what this whole Hurricane Sandy thing means, my guess is that there's multiple agendas going on, so I don't think they're mutually exclusive viewpoints.
I agree.
Think both might have some merit. The website that Hillary referred to is harpstatus.com, and I was monitoring it for about 2 weeks prior to the actual storm hitting the Northeast. And the long wave harp frequencies were in the highest zone that's ever been recorded on that site. Hillary mentioned briefly that it was in the white zone. Well, the epicenter of the harp activity was smack in New York City and New Jersey. Albany was only on the periphery of it, so I wasn't kind of surprised to see that we didn't get too much damage. Another interesting thing is I'm from Long Island, so my relatives are all down there. And my sister, in fact, lives on the water in Massapequa. She had 5 feet of water down the street, 3 feet in her house. She's been involved trying to get FEMA to come in, and it's an absolute disaster. They had the power back on briefly. A fire started. They have all these inspectors that have to approve things. The recovery process it's almost though they're trying to prolong it. And I also think that the second nor'easter that came in, I mean, the harp activity diminished a little bit after Sandy, but it was still pretty much off the charts. So I'm sure
so
that
this
both
is,
storms...
This is available for to be factual on this site, harpstatus.com?
Yeah, you can
harpstatus.com.
You can actually monitor it. It's a very interesting site, actually.
Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, they have 28 different monitoring stations throughout the country.
Okay.
And it's all sort of grassroots stuff. It's a great site to see where the next disaster that they're creating for us is coming from.
So what is your understanding of what happened as far as between the mutual opinions? As you said, Hillary and I have slightly different perspectives here, but we're on the same track. What is your opinion of what's happened?
Well, I would certainly naturally tend to defer to your psychic expertise. However, from a logical point of view, it could have been in part an October surprise. The timing, it caught the tail end of the hurricane season the week before the election. It was a possible chance for Obama to look presidential, get a good few photo ops and help him out there. It may have been also to plunge the New York and Jersey economies and even further into a depression. I mean, they're estimating that the New York State budget deficit, which was already huge, is going to be doubling as a result of these storms. Then I do think that they want to try to trot out the martial law thing, sort of give it a shot in a major metropolitan area.
Yeah, I think you and I are in sync here, Bruce. I really resonate with what you're saying. The fact that they've got a semi-martial law situation in New Jersey, and I'm hearing that people are being put into these camps in Staten Island and not being allowed to leave, really doesn't sound very good.
Not only that, Patricia, that particular FEMA camp in Staten Island, when anybody tries to make any cell phone calls out, they cut the power. So these people are being held incommunicado, basically.
So,
which is
can I just say that I do think that it's a very opportunistic business model. So these are definitely opportunities that will spur up because of these kind of situations. So wherever we see these kind of natural, quote, natural disasters happening, I definitely agree with both of you that it's an opportunistic kind of situation where these kind of things will definitely be tested. And
yeah, I think we
there's a whole notion behind it.
Just the question is, well, I see the potential for martial law being, I've always said martial law is coming. It's not just going to be blown, thrown on the American people without a reason. There's either going to be some terrorist quote-unquote event or some national disaster. I've been putting that information out for so long now that I must be boring. Here's the national disaster, and here are two or three cases where we're seeing martial law type of activity going on. I mean, this woman reports to me that army are supposedly shooting the looters, and Staten Island has got this camp set up. What do we think? Is this
Throw this into the equation. Throw this information into the equation. Why has the Department of Homeland Security purchased 1.8 billion rounds of hollow point ammunition over the last 6 months? Why does the Department of Homeland Security need any ammunition at all? They're not a policing agency. They basically coordinate between different agencies. So why do they want to have 1.8 billion hollow point bullets of the American people? I really think this whole thing's a dress rehearsal for what's going to come later.
Hillary?
My only hope is that we manage to ascend before that.
Better hurry. Hillary, what's your comment on that?
Well, you know, the whole thing is that, you know, I don't want to leave people, you know, feeling like they've been slimed and there's no hope kind of thing, because that's really not where we need to go. But and that's often what people end up feeling like when they start going into these kind of topics, and that's often why they don't want to, because they don't know how to get out of them and they don't know how to find a solution. And, you know, we're really being asked to put our spiritual practices to work and to really walk our talk. I mean, this time of seeking and learning, of course, is always here, but now we almost have to move beyond it and beyond the healing and really start to put to work who we are and really be that out in the world. And it's not a Pollyanna-ish kind of statement, because, you know, let's say your home was destroyed and you were all of a sudden put into a camp. How are you going to react to something along those lines? I mean, how are you going to empower yourself and others to deal with a situation like that? I think we really need to know who we are. We need to be very careful. We need to be very, be able to observe what we're feeling. We have to be very in touch with our body and our mind and our spirits, and we need to really understand what's happening, because there really is no other acceptable version of that. I mean, you either know who you are or you don't. You're going to get swept up into the system, and you're going to be one of the herds kind of penned into this place or that place. Or you can stand up and you can be someone who speaks up and really start to question what's going on and standing up to them. Because let's face it, there's more of us than there is of them, right? So why can't we overcome something as simple as being put into a penned camp and not being allowed to make phone calls or talk to the media or anything along those lines? Call into this show, you know, use your cell phone and text somebody and tell them what's going on. Send pictures, post them on Facebook. God's sake, there's so many venues to be able to do something about this. The world's not going to sit by and just take it.
I need to cut you off, Hillary, because we're almost out of time, unbelievably. And I would like to close the show thanking Bruce, first of all. You're really a soul brother, Bruce. I just really appreciate you calling in and all the things you do and say. And Hillary,
well,
you too. Thank you for coming on and speaking your truth. And to everyone else, I would like to just have this moment to speak mine, and that is there are a lot of people who need your help right now in New York. This is no joke. New York, New Jersey, Staten Island. If there is an attempt to impose martial law there, a whole lot of people have to do a whole lot of things really fast. So I'm really pleased to see a lot of people moving aid blankets and that kind of thing. That's not enough. We need to raise the voice. Please investigate if it's true that people are being held in this camp and not being allowed to make calls out, which is what someone reported. Then by God, raise your voice. Let us help these people. Let us reverse this. This is not North Korea. This is not the evil countries that we have chosen to attack because of such behaviors. This is the United States of America, and it's a model. So get to work. Okay? And let us turn that around and let us see the human outcry, a wave of humanity helping these people in despair. Please be there. I wish I could be. I'm over here in Rome. But I am sending all my love and concern and light to this part of the world. And I implore you, do something. Talk to your friends. Help bring supplies. There are people that are stranded for 10, 11 days with no supplies. Are you aware of this? There are elderly people on the 10th floors of buildings that have no food, no heat. This is an emergency, folks. And it's great to be all juicy that everything's going to be okay and the universe is going to be providing. In the meantime, it is time for the human outcry, the human reaction, and the human action to help ease the pain in this location. So with that, I leave you. Oh, I have a minute to spare. Do we have 1 minute worth of comments from, can you contain it to a minute, Hillary?
As I close? Don't know, I try. I just want to say really quick that I'm really proud of everybody for the way that they do come together when it's time like this. I mean, I have such a great group of people on my social media following that just really do such an awesome job of pulling it all together and tying things together. And, you know, just don't ever give up. Don't ever think that this is something that you can't, you know, have any kind of effect on, because ultimately you really do, and you really can have a large impact. So I think people need to really remember that.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that. And remember that we are heading toward a time where the polarity on this planet is going to be resolved. So do your part. Stand in your truth. Be in your heart. And I saw this beautiful thing on social network the other day that I've posted from someone just said, follow your heart, but take your brain with you. I love that. And I share that with you. And before I sign out, my love to Dorothy and Dan, who are in the wake of this disaster. Thank you for bringing out the word of what's really going on there. And please, if there's anything you can do, write to me. I'm info@SyrianRevelations.net. Do what you can. And if you need help getting your voice out or anything that you want to promote, please contact me and I will use all of my networks. And I'm sure Hillary will join me and we'll get your word out. So it's the end of the show already. Wow, that was fast. Hillary, you'll have to come back on and we'll go deeper.
Sounds good. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks to Hillary Rimo. Thanks to all of you for tuning in. Thank you for thinking outside the box of convention, because you wouldn't be listening to this show if you were still stuck there. And with that, I salute you. This is Patricia Corey signing out. Nanu, nanu.